This programming sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about their flexible premium life insurance plans available at relevantradio.com/forester.
Talk radio for Catholic life to start your day.
Morning Air
on Relevant Radio with Glenn Leverenz. Here's your host, John Harper.
Good morning. 5 minutes after the hour, it is Thursday, August 8th. Go live to Kansas City, Kansas, where Monsignor Sweatland is the president of Donnelly College. Monsignor, good to have your voice back on the radio.
Good to be with you. Thank you.
What do you make of this new Pew Research Center study that Bishop Barron has commented on? We have it on our Morning Air Facebook page, and it studies over 1,200 Catholics here in the United States only, and showing that something as high as 70% of Catholics in the United States believe that the Eucharist is only symbolic of Jesus' body and blood, rather than believing that it's the real presence of Jesus Christ under the forms of bread and wine. It almost doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. I wonder when I hear such things, as a convert especially, it just baffles me that anyone who has been brought up as a Catholic and been taught just the most simple gestures like genuflection, it would be, in my opinion, kind of irrational if we were genuflecting to a mere symbol. This act which we are taught, you know, Catholics who are brought up Catholic are taught, even before they receive the Eucharist, they're taught the genuflection and the sign of the cross, these simple things we do. So to understand these simple gestures should lead and point to the reality behind those acts of adoration of God present, of Jesus present in the Eucharist. And I think what it really may point to, though, is an impoverishment of language, of philosophy, and of theology. First, in language, I think sometimes in the United States, we are a little casual with the way we describe things, and we don't always look for absolute precision in our language. And to some extent, that's understandable, and sometimes that even is a way of getting along with others, where we don't always have full agreement. But the church talks about presence, how Christ is present to us in many different ways. And Christ is present to us in many different ways. You know, I like to, my teaching on the social teaching of the church, remind everybody what Jesus taught us in Matthew 25, that he is mysteriously present in those on the margins, the sick, the homeless, the migrant, the imprisoned, the hungry, the Christ is there, present in a mysterious way. What we do for the least among us, we do for Christ. Christ identifies and is present in some mysterious way in the poorest of the poor. Jesus taught us where two or three are gathered in his name, that he is in our presence, that he is in our midst, and he is there with us. So anytime Christians gather in the name of Christ, Christ is present to us. We believe sacramentally that when the priest exercises his priestly ministry, when he baptizes, when he forgives sins by the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit, when he confects the Eucharist, he's acting in persona Christi, in the person of Christ. And Christ is present sacramentally in the priest. We believe when his word is proclaimed, especially the gospel, that we are hearing Christ. Christ is present in the proclamation of the word. So we use all those terms to talk about Christ's presence. I could add other presences. There's a way that God is present in his creation. We know the artist from his art, and there's a way that we can talk about presence in his ongoing holding of creation in existence is a form of presence. So there's different... Yeah, there's different ways we could talk about presence, but there is a uniquely different way that Christ is present in the Eucharistic species. It's what we call a real presence. And the way the Council of Trent talked about it, I still think is a good place to start. The body and blood together with the soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore the whole Christ is truly, really, and substantially contained in the Eucharistic species. So Christ is present in a real sense, a bodily sense, You know, that's the kind of way, and we have to make these distinctions, I think, for our people. Sorry, I went long way.
No, it's okay. No, Bishop Barron was saying, it's hard to describe how angry I feel. He said that in a tweet. Those are Bishop Barron's words. And he also said it should be a wake-up call for all of us in the church. And that's true. And that wake-up call for all of us in the church is not to get caught up on the church. It's like, oh, well, Monsignor Sweatland will do it. My parish priest will do it. No, I have to do it. This is the wake-up call to you and me. We have to be that person that brings somebody back to the Eucharist, that explains what's going on. That's how this number is going to change, is that it's up to me.
And we also do need, I think, to do some radical work on the way we explain this. When I'm talking to college students, especially college students who have been through the courses we require here at Donnelly in philosophy, theology, so they have some background. We like to use the term, the church's tradition has, of calling the Eucharistic presence a substantial presence. But, you know, most of the young people I work with, most of the young people out there are pretty sophisticated in science. And I think we need to try to find language that will speak to a scientifically literate age of how that substantial presence, what's it mean? And I talk about it in terms of relationship, that God wants an intimate, personal, passionate relationship with us. And relationships for humans require at least two things, communication and presence. And of course, the Lord communicates with us through revelation, through prayer, and in other ways. But he's present to us in the sacramental realities of our faith. And he is substantially present in the Eucharist. I think we need to do some radical work on explaining that better in a scientific age.
Father Rocky was on with us not terribly long ago, and he always talks about faith being a gift, but it works like a muscle. Every time you use it, it gets stronger. We know that, but we're kind of preaching to ourselves. How do we communicate that with our family members, our loved ones, friends at work who may have walked away from the Catholic faith?
I think we need in our parishes, our colleges, you had Monsignor Shea on early. It's something they do at the University of Mary. You know, we have Mass here daily. But I think our students also need to be introduced, if they haven't been, to Eucharistic devotion, processions, Eucharistic adoration on a regular basis. You know, once they're introduced to it, they kind of fall in love with it. And even if they don't fully understand what we're doing or why we're doing it at first, con naturally to the lived experience of a Eucharistic procession or a Eucharistic adoration, routine of adoration. They begin to, by osmosis almost, they begin to understand it better. And just going back to some of those little pious things that I don't know why the church, people in the church ever stopped doing, like making the sign of the cross when we walk in front of the parish or drive in front of the parish, uniting ourselves with Jesus present in the tabernacle. You know, men used to tip their hats on the buses and trams as they went by churches, you know, and ladies used to make a little, half genuflection, even on the street. I remember seeing it in Pittsburgh. John Haas, the director of the National Center for Bioethics, Bioethics Center, he in Philly, he talks about that being part of his conversion to the Catholic faith, seeing the belief in the real presence among the faithful. So I think those little acts of piety and devotion aren't just acts of piety and devotion. They're also teaching tools, and they're also can evangelize.
What do you make of this Pew Research study that shows that almost three-quarters of Catholics believe that the body and blood of Christ in the Eucharist is only symbolic? And what should we do to turn that around? 888-914-9149 on the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line, 888-914-9149. What's interesting when you go into the demographic breakdown of this Pew Research study, Monsignor Sweatland, is that the numbers are pretty consistent from those under 40 and even those 60 and older. 61% believe that it's only symbolic, and I'm surprised that those who are 60 or older, although maybe that does capture some of the younger part of a generation that was undercatechized.
Well, and this is what Bishop Barron, I'm sure, means when he says he's angry, is we as a church have to face, it was the very first article I ever published back in, when was it, 1992, I think I published it. We had generational failures of catechesis. And this isn't just true. Interestingly enough, it isn't just true of the Catholic religion. If you talk to Jewish rabbis, if you talk to Protestant ministers, they'll say the same things about their own traditions, that as a culture, we used to be fairly religiously literate. And actually, most people knew something about other traditions, too, because they were around them and they learned from their friends who were well catechized in their own tradition. But somewhere in the mid-20th century, and this is across every denomination in the United States, there became a huge failure to effectively educate and form young people in the faith. So the generation from, you know, that basically the baby boomers and now they're the ones who are supposed to teach and form their children. Well, if they're poorly catechized, you can't hand on what you don't have. So I think what we have to do in our parishes is a lot of adult formation and education to form the parents and grandparents again and do it in an efficacious and attractive way. And then they can hand on, you know, the full truth to their children and grandchildren.
Monsignor Stuart Sweatland with us this morning, 17 after on Morning Air. We're talking about this brand new Pew study that shows that 70% of United States Catholics don't believe in Jesus's real presence in the Eucharist. What should we do about that? 888-914-9149. We'll get to your calls coming up after we hear today's gospel from the 6th chapter of Matthew on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.